It's great to have you out tonight to hear the gospel. Gospel means good news. You know, if you read your newspaper, I don't know what you read, but it probably wasn't good news. But this is good news tonight. If you want to read along with me, turn in Luke chapter 13. It's a rather solemn portion. The disciples ask him a question, and the Lord proceeds to tell them a future scene. And he really answers their question without directly answering their question. And what he portrays is very, very solemn. You might say it's one of the most solemn portions in all the Word of God, and it is. Luke 13 and verse 23. And then said one unto him, the Lord Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? Now these are his words. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then ye shall begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. God will bless the precious reading of his word. We have a shut door. There's a lot of truth revealed unto us here in these four verses. We're told that heaven has a door, and heaven only has one door. And we notice that. And there are other portions we could turn to. For time's sake, we won't, but I will quote, for instance, John 10:9. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door to heaven. Amazing thing, wouldn't you say, for a man, you know, grew up in Nazareth, father a carpenter, he became a carpenter, and he just has ordinary sandals on, clothing, and he stands, and he looks at everybody in the eye, and with authority, not as the Pharisees, says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It always amazes me that God brings great spiritual truth, things that we cannot understand. All the scientists can tell us is, I guess there's more stars. That's all I can tell you. We found a few more constellations out there, billions and billions and billions. That's all we've found. They have no answers for us. But we have the Bible. And it's been here so long. People that say, I don't believe the Bible, I truly believe, are people who don't want to believe the Bible. They don't want to. They never even picked it up and read it. You cannot read this book, and you cannot help but know God wrote this book. No man could write this book. Nobody. It's just absolutely amazing. So here God, the human man, and left us a book with the truth in it. I hope you're here. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're seeking the truth. I recognize that as a young boy. I was seeking truth. My friends didn't seem to be the least bit interested in going any further than tonight. You know, what are we going to do tonight? Well, sometimes I used to think a little bit past tonight, into the future a little bit. Look up in the sky and say, you know, I know there's a God. Why can't I know God? And things, I wanted to know the truth. I was 30 years old when I finally heard the truth. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall hear the truth. So, verse few tonight, isn't it? You shall hear the truth, Jesus Christ is saying to you. And if you obey the truth, truth shall make you free. You can be free tonight. You can. And then he said in verse 36, just so we know, if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed, by the way. In other words, I'm the truth. You're looking for truth. You've been looking in all the wrong places. You've been looking everywhere under the sun. You can't find truth. No. A lot of steeples out there, universities and colleges out there, and all kinds of people say, I know the truth, but nobody knows the truth. Truth is absolute. It is or it isn't. Is there a truth? For us to learn, you've got to get a hold of it. What? Why, yes, the Bible tells us, yes, there's a truth. And listen to this. Even a child can understand this truth. And they can. You know, we are so full of ourselves. I can speak for myself. So full of myself and so full of pride, we think we know something. We do. I know something about God. You know what I think about God? And suddenly your friend's looking at you saying, well, you know, what do you know about God? What do you know about God? They say, oh, I know there's no God. Really? How do you know there's no God? How? Can't prove that. You want truth? We're happy you're here. Truth is what you're hearing tonight. The message I preach tonight is a message that has not changed in 2,000 calendar years. And I'm preaching tonight is the very same message. If the Apostle Paul, if it were possible, and he wanted to, he could stand there and he'd preach, and you know something? He'd preach no different message than I'm preaching to you right now. It's Jesus Christ our Lord, cover to cover, theme of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the Bible about? It's not what, it's who. Who's the Bible about? The Lord Jesus Christ. Why are Christians so different? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're so different. He lives in them. That's why people couldn't figure me out at age 30. Because they saw a different man. They saw it. All things were passing away. All things were being made new because of him. The Lord Jesus Christ. At this present time, for the last 2,000 years, there has not been one religion God has shown respect to. Not one. And none of them have their basis in the Bible. None. And they'll sit back there in the big mahogany desks and offices, you know, and puff on their pipe, and they'll tell you all kinds of these things, you know. This is truth, and this is truth, and this is truth, and this is truth. And I say, wait a second, you know. I thought this was truth. What are you telling me? I want to know the truth. You want to know the truth tonight? As I said, you're in the right place. Sometimes truth hurts. Well, the Lord has just shown us. It amazes me, as I said, we have a book. He left us a book. It's translated in so many languages. God loves sinners. Here we have it. And he brings these spiritual truths that are so lofty. And he brings them right down so I can understand. A door. I mean, that's one of the first things a child learns about is what a door is. And he's talking here about my soul's destiny in eternity. I'm talking about yours. What wonderful God we have to do this for us, just so you understand. I'm going to mention heaven. I'm going to talk about it as though it has a door. And then he begins. And now we learn four revealing and solemn truths about a shut door here. He said in verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door. thought that was interesting. It's rather solemn, isn't it? He's going to rise up once. Saul. The door's open once. It's open right now. Well, the Lord says one day, once, I'm going to stand up once on this throne. You know, throne right now. Crown of glory and honor beside his Father. The majesty on high. And one day he's going to come back again. He's only going to stand up once and bring home his bride, his beloved. I can challenge your heart tonight. I'd like to do that. You know, do you have any love at all in your heart for him? Do you? Do you ever think about him? You go through your day. Do you ever think about him? Do you read about him? Did you kneel down and pray? The Father, in the name of the Son, the Lord Jesus. You need to do that. If you don't, there's something wrong. There's something drastically wrong in your life. You don't have any. That's what's wrong. You don't have any life. When you have Christ, it's a miracle. He comes and lives inside of us by his Holy Spirit. Paul said, Christ liveth in me. And he's in the mind of Christ. I see things differently. This all takes place in a moment of time. That's why all the miracles were instantaneous. He could have healed everybody in the world if he wanted to. It didn't matter, did it? We're all going to die anyway someday. Well, what was most important was the person living inside the body. So all the miracles are pictures of the great miracle of God's great salvation. And it's all about Christ. It's him. And when I know him and believe on him, I can't help but love him. I can't help it. Okay, the shut door. Heaven has one door, only one door. I am the door. Find me. Secondly, you know, this door is obviously open right now, and isn't that a wonderful thing? It's wonderful to be able to stand here. Seat right up front here, brother. Welcome. Nice to see you. So heaven has a door, and there's only one door, and obviously it's now open. If it wasn't open, then I wouldn't be here preaching the gospel. I wouldn't be doing that. When that door opens, I mean, when it shuts, closes, that means the offer of salvation no longer is going out. It's like a day, an age of grace, and now it's discontinued. And now God's bringing something new in. The truth is in the Word of God. Those who are saved will be gone. So that's a wonderful truth, but that is now open. You don't even have to knock. You know, you have to turn the doorknob. Like, it's not a door that's closed and it's open. You know, like, it's not locked. This door is wide open. And you walk in through the door. Yes, you want a new life. But to you, that's a door. Not only that, a door to forgiveness of all my filthy sins that I committed against God all my life. My rebellion, showing in my back. That door to me is not only a door to wash away all my sins, but that's the door to becoming a brand new man, a brand new woman. And I'm going to live my life and make it count for God. And that's how you've got to come. People that are very content with just the way they are in life are very rarely saved. Everything's fine with me, thank you very much. I've heard the expression of a lot of people, I'm good, you know. I don't need anything, I'm fine. So I can't even talk to those people, and it makes me a little sad. So the good news is the door's open. You know, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, like it hasn't changed. We come to him, the straight gate, the narrow gate. Come unto me. Now, thirdly, it's going to be shut someday. It's going to be shut. And who's going to shut it? I do believe it said the master of the house. Who's the master of the house? Who is the master of the house? Who made this earth anyway? He made it. It's his. All the galaxies? It's in mine. The sun, animal, everything else you can see, it's mine. I made it. It's for me. I'm the master of the house. I became the blessed Redeemer to come down from heaven, become a man, and die on the cross for your sins. And you know I did not come to give you a religion to follow, because you haven't even been able to find your religion in your Bible. It's not there. What you don't like is that you see yourself in there. And I'm called sinner. And we don't like that. We don't. We don't like that at all. People will say, well, we're all sinners. I say, yes, I know we're all sinners. Are you a sinner? You. Are you a sinner? Well, I just said, we all sin. Not what I asked you, ma'am. So hard to get her to say it. If I can't say it, I'll be saved. Sinners are saved. Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus means Savior. Savior of sinners. So if I can never see myself as a sinner, I'm never going to be saved. Am I? I could be drowning at sea. I don't know I'm drowning. I'm going to drown. If I realize what's happening to me, I'll cry out for a Savior. And that's the first thing I have to understand. And you have to understand. Before you're ever saved. We're talking about something real. I'm not just saying here, saying to you tonight, you know, I hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I know. Not a shadow of a doubt. I've never doubted for one split second. No, all the years I've been saved. 29. Old young fellow's down there in the ghetto down in Washington. Put a gun in my head. I'm going to kill you. I said, it's okay. That's where I'm going to die. But you make sure it's a good clean shot, mister, because I don't want to be a vegetable. My family's standing around me. So if I'm going home by way of a 38 slug through my head, that's all right. It's okay. In other words, I finished my course. I spoke my last word, took my last step for my God. You yourself know, if the doctor said, you have 3 months to live, you get cancer, how would that make you feel? Afraid? Would you be going, oh no, to leave? You know, people will fight for their last breath to stay here. And we as God's people are longing to leave here. We're going home. My citizenship is in heaven. That's what it is. There's a girl back in the park in Worcester. She said, that book's nothing but Grimm's fairy tales. I said, really? I said, how come you're so upset? Your face is red as a beet, dear. She was just getting all upset. Over Grimm's fairy tales? No, it's the Word of God. That's why it's so powerful. Dynamite. Everything Jesus Christ spoke, boom, it went right smack into the heart. He got them. Right where it hurt. And you have to get hit where it hurts. Your life, your personal life, who do you live for? Who? Do you live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you live your life for yourself, as I did 30 years of my life. That wasn't a tough one for me. Who do I live my life for? Basically me. Yes, me. Well, if you want to be saved, you've got to be honest with yourself. I do not live like one who loves God lives. Never talk to him. He never speaks to me. I come to the conclusion, especially the death part, I'm not sure of heaven. I don't know where I'm going. I can fool my friends and my buddies, and anybody can't fool me. So I come to the conclusion that I'm a lost sinner. And that I don't want to stay this way anymore. I want to be a new man. If you don't want to be a new man, there's no hope for you. You know that? If you like yourself just the way you are, there's no hope for you. If there's a lady here tonight, young, old, and you like yourself just the way you are, you're never going to be saved. Well, you like your sin. You like living your life independent of God. That's what you do. You don't think of God at all. Sit up and like everybody else, just go to work or whatever I do. God's not in my life. It's like a man I married, a man who's not married. A man who's not married, nobody in my life.
Nobody.
That's one without Christ. That's one that cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd. Can't say it. We're glad you're here tonight. The purpose of the meeting is that God would awaken sinners. You got to be, the Bible says we're asleep spiritually, we're sound asleep. The devil's good, he just sort of like rock the cradle. This rock is gently in the sleep of sin. We don't even know what sin is anymore. But the gospel is still the power, the thunder of God unto everybody that believeth. It changes lives instantaneously. You read the miracles? Men that never walked, like a man 38 years. What kind of muscle fiber would the man have on his legs? He'd have nothing. The Lord Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk. And he did. And the sight and the speech. And the leprosy and the sickness and all these things in your hearing. It was instant. Why? Because they let us see. So we wouldn't have any doubt about this great salvation. It's a gift. Jesus Christ has a gift for you tonight. It's everlasting life, a new life, abundant life. But you have to want it. You know what's so sad? People don't want it. It's amazing. It's just totally. I mean, myself, I was fed up with myself. I responded to the message when I heard it. I've met people who don't respond at all. Are there few that be saved? What did the Lord say? Yes, just a few. How many people got in the ark? Well, 8. How many people were alive around that time? How about a few million? How about that? Do you see a similar scene here between the ark and the future? The Lord's the door. We're here Christians. We're preaching the gospel. Noah, it says, was a preacher of righteousness. And they thought it was a funny thing, you know? Like even today, I know sometimes people just put on faces, you know, they'll laugh, but they're not really laughing inside, you know? It's to cover something. They don't like what they heard. See if you, you know, open air and stuff like that, but the gospel is expected to have an effect on us, you know? It is. Like the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. He suffered for you so much. And then he rose from the dead and he sent you to heaven and he's coming again. And you don't begin to live. You think you're living. You don't begin to live until you know him personally as your Lord and Savior. He says, I stand, behold me. Can't you see me tonight? Can you not hear me tonight? Do you hear his voice tonight? I hope you do. Mind my voice. You hear his voice? It's his word. Thus saith the Lord. He says, I stand outside your heart's door. And if you hear my voice, open your heart's door. Open it. What do you think? I won't come in. I make you a promise. I will come in. That's Revelation 3:20. I will come in. What more could one possibly want than that? You tell me. What more? What more could a person want than the promise of God? Did you open your heart to the Lord? I talk to adults that way, you know, and they say, yes, I have. Yeah, and usually they're emotional. So, well, did he come in? You invited him in. Did he come in? Yes. He did, you know, and he's wiping his eyes like this Todd felt. I said, Todd, how do you know he came in? I looked at him really solemnly too, you know. How do you know? So he cleaned it up and he wiped his eyes. Pointed out the verse and he said, look, because he said he would, I will come in. You're looking for something more. And you're not going to find it. You see? Just surrendering to the Lord Jesus. That's all it is. That's salvation. Lord, I surrender. I don't want to be separated from you for all eternity in a place called hell. It's the only place for you. How can Christ bring you who sat, listened to the gospel, heard of his love, heard of what he did for you, you stood up and left the same way you came in your sins, and 10 years from now you die in your sins, then you stand before him. What, you think he would let you into heaven? You would want to go there anyway. You didn't want him in your life. So what I'm seeking to convey is that if God's spoken to your heart tonight, tonight's the night to be saved. Tonight. And don't think it unusual. That's an unusual thing happened. I went to a meeting last night. I don't know what it was, some chapel, and I listened to God's word and I got saved. I'm like, that's rather unusual, isn't it? Actually, no, it's not unusual. It's happening all over the world tonight. This is God's way. Yeah, he takes a weak thing like me and says, I want you to stand up here and talk to people. I say, me? He says, yeah, you. So I stand up here and talk to people. I only say, thus saith the Lord. That's all I say. I never say, I think, my opinion, we believe, never, ever, ever, in all the years have I said that. God says, the Word says. And even opener today, I told them, I said, I know some of you, I can tell by your very countenances, you don't agree with me. I said, you know something? Here's something to think about. It's not me you disagree with. It's God. You disagree with God, not me. So I suggest you best take that up with him very quickly. Because your eternal soul's at stake. You're going down if you do nothing with Jesus Christ. I've got a couple more minutes. It's now open. How wonderful. How marvelous. One day it'll be shut. Well, obviously. And who's going to shut it? The master of the house. It's his house. He created it. You know Noah's Ark? The Lord was already inside the ark when he called Noah. He was already inside the ark. God was inside the ark. And there's the door. He's inside. He says, Noah, come. Come to me. Come to me. Come in through the door unto me. And then when he sent through, he said, go. Now you go from my presence. You came to my presence, you go to my presence. Point is, who shut the door? You read it yourself. God shut the door. One day the Bible tells us plainly, clearly, what are you going to do with this passage tonight? You know what? This Bible, this portion, Luke 13, is never, ever going to go away. Never. For as long as you live your days, what you heard tonight, you heard tonight. He must be born again. If you're sitting here in your sins, you're not saved. You're not a child of God. You know it. And God's calling you tonight, and he's saying, come to me. By faith and surrender. Surrender your life to me. I love you so much. I want you to come just the way you are. All your faults, all your habits, everything. I'll make a new man out of you. Yes, I will. I'll make you into a woman of God. And I'll say to you, now you go and you show everybody what great things I've done for you. You'll want to. But it's like your call. And the Lord's going to shut the door. Isn't it interesting? I'm not going to dwell on this. There's two groups of people here. Two groups. Kind of distinct they are. It's a future day. This is going to happen. The door's shut. This one group is standing outside the shut door. And they're speaking. And inside is another group. And they're sitting, and they're silent. So, how come one group's inside, sitting down, and one group's outside, and the doors are knocking away? Well, the Lord tells us. They're now seeking. He says, you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Notice he says, begin to stand. Ye begin to stand. Luke 15 talks about the prodigal son came home to the father and says, and he began to be merry. Never stop the joyful Christian life. Notice this. And ye begin to stand. It's just the beginning. That they probably have not ever stopped. Without. At the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Like it's hard to take in how these people are actually addressing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's like they're demanding a place in heaven. It's like, God, you owe me. Open unto me. I did my best. I went to church. I was baptized. Got my Bible. I wasn't such a bad guy. And I did all that stuff for nothing. Do you know why they gnash their teeth? That's why people gnash their teeth. They're in anger. These are angry people. I've done many wonderful works in your name, Lord, and you know it. And the tone begins to get a little heated now. He simply says very calmly, authoritatively, depart from me. You see how personal it is? It's not a big group of people. It isn't a country. It's you, one individual at a time. I never knew you. Does he know you? I know I didn't know him. I came to that conclusion. Finally, age 30, I don't even know God. I'll tell you now, I know him. I talk to him a lot. Told some boy downstairs earlier before this meeting. I said, I'm going to go in this room and pray. And I'm not crazy. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to God. He said, God hears me. I know he does. Wouldn't you love to have a father? He's always there. The cry of Father. He's right there. Oh, Lord, help me. Right there. What an exciting life is the Christian life. They didn't strive to enter in. That means agonize. He didn't agonize to enter in. Yeah, well, I know you're having a few nice meetings. I guess I can make one of them. You know, we have sometimes we have 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Just to appease some friend, they'll show up once or twice. You know, I look at them. I feel like saying, look, you are no more interested in being born again and a child of God than my dog, Sonny, is. You know? Who are you trying to kid? Somebody wants to be saved. They're striving. They're agonizing to enter in. I can't stop thinking about my sin. What I've done. And these faces, the Christian faces, I can't get them out of my mind. They're happy. They're joyful. They're sure of heaven. I know they are, and I'm not. Oh, Lord, I want to be. That's the place. Somebody said, you know, I'm at my wit's end. And his friend said, that's where you'll find him. That's where God is, at your wit's end. Get to the end of yourself. You'll find one wonderful Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. You know, if we had nothing to do tomorrow, maybe, sleep all day. Don't we, my dearest Christians, get somebody up piano, and our organ, a couple of guitars up here? We might stay all night singing. And you know what? We'd love it. Yes, we would, if we could do it. Unfortunately, our lives don't allow for that. But there's a difference, you see. I saw it. The Christians love the Lord Jesus. That's why they live like they live. The conclusion was, I didn't like it. I did not love him. I didn't even know him. But you know what? Right from then on there, it was like I made like a vow or a quest. I'm going to find God. God, if you're there. And with all my heart, I saw him. You know, you can't stand your own merit, friend. Like these people stood in their own merits, didn't they? They said many wonderful works in thy name, Lord. You know me. I was a religious woman, a man. They're incredulous. They cannot. They're absolutely, totally overwhelmed. Right door? Knocking in vain? Right person? Talking in vain? Too late. And tonight, it's not too late. It's not salvation. And you know, the worst thing is, the bottom line of all this is, what he said to them, I know you not. Twice he said that. I don't know who you are. Who are you? You never prayed to me. You never told people about me. You didn't tell anybody you knew me. Because you didn't. And you're standing here at my heaven's door, and you want me to let you in? With all your sins, would you like to see the wounds in my hands and my feet and my side? For you I did not. You know what? It meant nothing to you. You never thought of me. I'm sorry. It's like, I'm saying this now a little bit too politely. He's not polite, is he? He says, depart from me and renew you.
I did this for you. And you couldn't be bothered even to pick up the Bible and read about me. You know, you wouldn't even take the Gospel of John and read about me.
Friend, may God bless you tonight. The world is so sound asleep. It's a very sad state of affairs. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen next. You know, I can understand that. But as believers, we are so far beyond that. We know what's coming next. He's coming. He, our Lord Jesus. And we're just waiting for him to come. But our life is so different. We're just journeying through a day at a time. I turned 60 in Guyana all by myself. It was a nice day of reflection. But I thought, you know, if God gives me Psalm 91, then 70 years, that's only 10 years. That's it. 10 more times. That made me really, kind of shook me a little bit, you know. But it's wonderful, you know, when your life has a purpose and a meaning to it. And that's what he gives you. He gives you so much. Well, I've said enough already. The answer is him. He is calling you tonight. He loves you. He died for your sins. And salvation is simply faith and trust in Christ. We just pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks. What a wonderful Savior is the Lord Jesus. We thank thee he's still waiting for that last soul to be saved and the church to be complete. We would thank thee that it's not still complete, that the door's open for this week. We give thanks, Father, for the time we've had already in open air and the children. We give thanks and for tonight. We pray thy blessing, Father, and we acknowledge that salvation is of the Lord and thy Holy Spirit must work an upheaval within a person's soul before they are saved. May this take place, we pray, in his name and for his honor and glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gently calls for thee. In true repentance bow before him bend the knee. He waiteth to bestow salvation, peace, and love. True joy on earth below, a home in heaven above. Come to the Savior now. Come to the Savior now. Gaze on this cleansing tide, that cleansing tide, water and blood that flow forth from his wounded side. Hark to the suffering one It's finished. No, he cries. Redemption work is done. Then bow his head and die. He did it all for you. He died for you. Come. Let's do that. The third and fourth verses now. Thank you.